Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody out. Got a great crowd this morning. Beautiful, sunshiny day. Everybody will get settled in. We'll go ahead and get started this morning. We've got a couple of announcements before we get going. The first and third graders, Patricia Robinson's class on Sunday mornings, have written thank you cards to all those who worked on their classroom right over here. And the cards will be posted on the bulletin board in the hall. So we had a great little work day on that day and got it all situated for them. Sonny Glenn came this past Tuesday and picked up all the items you donated and wanted to say, they wanted to say thank you to everyone who participated in that. We had a lot of stuff. So in case you didn't notice, the parking lot is still in progress. Be careful out there. The walkway is a little precarious, it's coming soon, guys. We're going to have a nice parking lot after all this is done if Russell doesn't pull all his hair out trying to keep up with everything, and Herman, so. And Fritz. Got to get everybody in there. But I believe that's all the announcements we have. If you'll join me in a word of prayer as we start. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you this day. We thank you for this body of believers. We thank you for the opportunity that we might stop and remember the life that was given for us and the life that we have because you loved us so much. We pray we'll serve you this day and in all the things that we do in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
To this poor world of sin and death.
Our scripture reader this morning, 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Thanks. Is it good to be a Christian? There was a guy who was struggling with his golf game. He had been really good and was really struggling. And so he went to a psychiatrist and said, I got to have some help because I'm not doing any good on the golf course. He said, what do I need to do? He said, you need to relax. He said, I want you to go out and play golf, but I want you to not use a ball. Just imagine that you're going through the game. And so he went to the golf course. He got his club out, no ball. He swings his club, and he hits 180 yards. Then he gets his iron out, and he hits it to the green, puts it in for par, goes on to the next hole. I mean, there's a spring in his step. He's feeling good. He's really being successful, better than he ever has in his golf game. And he gets to the 18th hole, and he sees there's another guy playing without a ball. He had gone to the same psychiatrist, and so they decided they would play off and compete each other on the last hole. And so he says, you can go first. And the other guy puts his ball, pretends to put his ball on the tee and swings it, like 280-yard shot, right down the fairway. The other guy hits his ball 280 yards right down the fairway. The other guy comes up, gets his iron out, and hits it with a backspin. It hits close to the hole, backspins into the hole, and the guy says, I won. I won. And he looks at the other guy and he says, you did not win. You hit my ball. Well, it's easy to have confidence when you're playing imaginary golf. When you're really playing golf, not so easy to have the confidence. John has been writing them. We spent 16 weeks looking at his letter. So I write these things so that you will know that you have eternal life. K-N-O-W, know. And he's given them tests. You can know if you keep his commandments, if you love one another, if you believe on Jesus Christ. You can know. These are the tests. And you either pass the test or you don't pass the test. You can know these things. And now he's going to summarize what he's taken them through. And he wants them to remember things that they can know. In verse 18, in verse 19, in verse 20, it's real simple. They all start with, we know. Throughout the book, he's used a lot the word, Greek word, gnosko. There's two words for know, gnosko and oide. And here, all three of those we knows are oide. And what's the difference between the two? Oide means to be assured of. It means to know something fully. Gnosko means you're getting to know something. Both are important. We get to know the steps of salvation piece by piece. We learn and we add to what we know and we get the full picture. My granddaughter's 5. When she was a little bit younger, we started teaching her numbers. 1, 6, 7, 12. I mean, they weren't in the right order. So we had to keep asking her what comes after 1, 2, what comes after 2, 3. And she was learning her numbers. Could she add and subtract? Could she do algebra yet? No. But she was learning to add them together to get somewhere. Then she began to know what the numbers added up to. So I can ask her at any time now, 2 + 2 is, and she'll say 4. And I've also tried to teach her the numbers in Spanish, and I'll ask her, dos plus dos equals, and she'll still say 4. But anyway, she's learning, and now, but she knows 2 + 2 = 4. There's no question. She says it with confidence. She knows. He wants them to know, if you're in Christ, you don't keep on sinning. He wants them to know, if you are begotten of God, you belong to God, not the world, to God. And he wants them to know that if they know Christ, they have truth. They have eternal life. They can know those things with certainty, assurance, conviction. That's what he's after. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. 3 stances for Christians to take. My world, I grew up martial art world. You learn stances. I had a karate school on the side for years where I taught kids karate. Back stance, front stance, horse riding stance, ready stance, fighting stance. They know what stance to get into. He's going to tell us these are some stances that you need to make sure that you take because of what you know. First of all, stand with power. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So it doesn't mean that we don't sin. It means that we don't continue in sin. Once we see that we're sinning in our lives, we stop it and we correct it. And we know from chapter 1 that we are to confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive our sin. If we say we have not sinned, we lie, and the truth is not in us, because we're going to make mistakes. It's what we do once we make the mistake. And our job is to stop it. I was driving to services this morning, and I stopped at the stop sign, and a guy was coming toward his stop sign, and he didn't stop. He just kept on going. Last week we talked about there's a sin that leads to death. That's when you stop it. Sins that leads to death is when you don't stop it. You continue in it. And a sin that doesn't lead to death, it's when you stop doing that sin. We're to stop. He also addresses this in 1 John chapter 3. If you want to turn a page and just read with me, starting in verse 4. He says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, and just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. We've been changed. We are to be righteous, not sinners. We are to offer up, Paul says in Romans 6, the instruments of our bodies, our eyes, our ears, our nose, the parts of our body as instruments of righteousness, not wickedness. We don't continue in sin. And when we realize their sin, we put it away. And he says, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. You keep yourself from getting in a pattern of sin. You know what to do with sin, with transgression, stepping over the line, with iniquity, getting zigzag off course, with missing the mark. We make sure that we are living righteously, and when we do what is righteous, Satan can't get his hold on us. Because our life is filled up with what is right. We got to empty the cup of sin, and we have to live righteously. And we don't have to get in the trash can to know there's trash in it. We can identify sin before we get all grody with it. Some people act like they always got to dive in and check it out. If you know it's sin, stay away from it. Sin is bad. Sin is progressive in nature. Sin is like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger. Sin destroys. Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. His motive is to kill, steal, and destroy. His method is deception. But Jesus said, I've come, John 10:10, to give you abundant life. Life to the full. You want your life full? Or do you want to play around with the trap? Get in sin. Avoid what is evil. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's our stance. And we have the power to not continue in sin. Because God gives us things. He always provides a way out. He protects us when we ask Him, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But we have there's God's part and there's our part. We have a responsibility. In Titus it says, His grace has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust and live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. You and I have to choose all the time to say no to sin and yes to God. We're living for Him and not for ourselves. And we have the power to do that. We have the power to say no and to live upright, godly lives. And when we do, Satan can't get a hold on us. He can't grab onto us. He came to Jesus, turn the stones into bread, jump off the temple, bow down and worship me. He didn't get anywhere with Jesus. And we're told, resist Him, and He will flee from you. All you got to do is pull away. Resist Him. He's limited. God is unlimited. And when we do, that's powerful because He can't get a hold of us. He can't, it says, does not touch Him. We take His power away. There was a guy that was cleaning up a cage where the wildcats were. And he was in one cage with one particular wildcat. And he was real close to him. He was sweeping and cleaning up. And somebody was looking at him and said, you must be the bravest guy I've ever seen. How can you be in there with that wildcat sweeping around? And he said, I'm not brave. And he said, well, that must be the tamest cat I've ever seen. And he said, no, that cat's not tame. And the guy said, well, how can you do that? And he said, he has no teeth. You want to take away Satan's teeth? You want to take away his bite? Do what is right. Don't continue in sin. Turn away from it. You and I have the responsibility to do what is righteous. We have the power. Anyone born of God does not continue in sin. And when you realize you're in sin, you want to get out of it. You want to get rid of it. You want to shake it off as fast as you can because sin will destroy you. And we should want to be with God more. Then he says, in the next verse, we see this in David. David says, the enemy was who? Goliath. And he says, I ain't letting you stay around. And he has this confidence. I can, I will, I must. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, power says I can. And he goes against the giant and he brings him down because he had the power to do that. We have the same power to stand against Satan. And when we've done everything to stand, we put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 18 says, and we can fight against Satan and his schemes. There's a battle. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game, the song says. We can have confidence in our spiritual victories. We can be victorious spiritually. We can be conquerors. That's the idea in this text. We can know and we can have victory spiritually. We are conquerors. We've got that spirit that David had, that Joshua had, that all those people had that stood up for God and stood out in faith. And then he says, stand in position. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. He's saying, the world is over here. You are over here. You are in God. Keep your position. If you've believed and repented and confessed and been baptized into Christ and you're walking faithfully and doing what God wants you to do, that's the position He wants you in. You're in the kingdom. Why would you want to go mess around in the world? Why would you want to be that? Paul says it this way. There's the natural man. There's the carnal man. And there's the spiritual man. Your position is to be spiritual, not to be carnal. You can't play in both fields. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be a worldly Christian. You have to be in Christ. That's where you want to be. That's your position in Him. Your Father owns the universe. He's in control. Why would you want to be anywhere else? You belong to God. Stick with God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, Christ died so that you won't live for yourself, but for Him who died for you and is risen again. When you become a Christian and you're baptized into Christ, you're making the commitment to live for Him and not for yourself. That's your new position in Christ. And that's where you want to be. Dee Dee went and bought Ava a new shirt. And it says, if you need me, I'll be in my castle. She thinks she's a princess. But in essence, that's our position, isn't it? If you're looking for me, I'm going to be in His kingdom. I'm going to be next to God. I'm going to be doing what God wants me to. Don't go out in the world looking for me because I'm not going to be there. I have a new identity. I'm a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. I'm different because I'm in Christ. If you're looking for me, I'll be in His castle, right? That's the sentiment. That's for us to lock into the fact, if I can be anywhere in the world, I want to be where God wants me to be. That's why Paul will say, I care very little about if you judge me. If I'm judged by you or by any human court, I don't even judge myself. God is my judge. Paul is saying, I want to be right with God. I want to be in the right position. We know that we belong to God. And we're going to be with Him about what He wants us to be about. We're not going to be in the world. If you're playing both sides, you're in trouble. You can't do His thing and your thing. His will and your will have to become one. You can't say, like they say in Great Britain, you know, that the queen's on the throne, but the prime minister calls the shots. You can't put Jesus as Lord on the throne and call your own shots. He has to be Lord of all, or He can't be Lord at all. Stand in position. Where's your position? Where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. And His Word tells us exactly where we need to be and what we need to be like and the attitudes we need to have. Do not love the world, He's already said in 1 John, or the things of the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Be in position with God, not in the world. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. We can have confidence in our relationship with God. Stand with perspective. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. We know the Son of God. That was his point from the very beginning. What we have seen, what we have touched. He was explaining to them that Jesus came. They can know him. And how did they get to know him? And this is where he uses the two words again. He says, oide, know, with confidence. And then he says that we may know him who is true, gnosko, step by step, number by number, a little at a time. They had heard about Jesus. Jesus was explained to them. Jesus' teachings were taught to them. The Word of God was explained to them. And those things were built on each other, and they came to a knowledge of Jesus. And that knowledge helps them understand everything they need to know, and Jesus is sufficient. You don't need Jesus plus special knowledge like these Gnostics are teaching you. You just need Jesus the way you've been taught, and that is enough. That is sufficient. And if you have Jesus, you abide in the Father, you abide in the Son, you have the truth, and you have eternal life, and you've got that confidence. And when those false teachers come and try to cause doubts and make you stumble, you are secure in who you are because you know Christ. And Paul would say, I want to know Christ and the power of his rising, share in his suffering, conform to his death. There's this deep desire in us to know him. And how do we know him? Piece by piece. That's why we need to quit snacking on the Word of God and start feasting on the Word of God. We got too many people that snack on this. And you need to know it. Because the only way you're going to know Jesus, the real Jesus, is to get in this book and feast upon this word. And when you do, you're going to want nothing else. We're eating chips and Hershey's Kisses, and we should be eating filet mignon. We need to feast on this word. There's too many people that don't know the Word of God anymore. They trust in other people. Sometimes people call me and want the answer, and I'll say, look, I want them to get their Bible out and look. Piece by piece, step by step, having that confidence, that assurance, that knowledge. And he tells them, keep yourself from idols. Why does he end that way? Because if we seek other things that are false, we forfeit the grace that could be ours. You know who said that? Y'all remember Jonah? Ran away from God, down, 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 bloop, bloop, bloop. 3 days in time out. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is from the Lord. He's in the fish. And some translations say those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. When you turn to other things besides God, you forfeit that. In the Ten Commandments, he says, don't make graven images. Don't make idols. Don't make images. Stay away from that. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says that covetousness, greed, is idolatry. It's not just things that are statues. There are anything that takes God's place. Greed, it's called idolatry. We have to be careful to know the one true God and let that be enough. You don't need Jesus plus anything else. He is sufficient. Don't let anything come between you and your relationship with God. He is our only priority. Not just another priority. He is should be our only priority. Everything else will come into play if he's in the right place. We can have confidence in Jesus Christ the way the Scripture teaches us what we need to know about Jesus. If you want to know Jesus, go to the Scripture. Don't Google it. Look at the Word of God. Let it tell you about Jesus. And be rooted in Jesus. So we can walk with confidence. Have you ever started to know something, you wanted to do something, and you were learning at the very beginning about something, but then later on you learned a whole lot more and you really understood it? Now, I grew up in the 70s, and I love sports, and I'd gone to a movie, and the movie really had an impact on me. It was Rocky. And I wanted to get in shape, like Rocky. I wanted the, you know, dun 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 dun. Okay, that got me, right? And so I go home, and I wake up. It's cold outside. I put the raw eggs in the glass, and I drink them. And I go outside, and I'm running. I got a toboggan on, smoke coming out in the Lubbock, Texas, cold wind. I get to this lake. You know, I'm invincible. I'm Rocky. This part by my grandmother's house, the lake had frozen. So I just like, I'm Rocky, man. I'll just cut across the lake. So I start going across, and then I kind of start stopping, and I see these cracks behind me, and I fall in. And I'm swimming out, and I run to my grandmother's house. My grandfather's leaving for work. He rolls up to the stop sign, rolls his window down, laughs at me, and drives off. The day he almost died because of my grandmother. Anyway, she wrapped me in blankets and everything. Now, I really didn't know what I was doing, did I? Thought I knew about getting in shape. But then I started reading books. And I got a tape by Cooper, who started the Cooper Clinic. And I learned about oxygen uptake. And I started running. And I was running races and ran track in college. And I studied books about how long-distance runners trained, and all the state champions in Texas, how they trained. And I started doing all that stuff. And when I went to a race to run, I knew what I was doing. John has taken them through the steps, and he's got them to a point where they know with assurance what they need to be. And he's told us this morning very clearly that we stand with power. We know that if we're in Jesus, if we're born of God, we don't continue in sin anymore. If you're playing that game, you need to repent. We stand in position. You stick with God. You stay purposed in what He's called you to, and you do not move. You're faithful to Him. You learn to observe everything He wants you to know, and you stand with perspective. You stand with the perspective that Jesus is the Son of God, and you know Him who is true, eternal life, and you're not swayed by anything. Think of it, all the characters in the Bible that did great things for God. Esther, she changed her perspective. She was looking at a situation, and Mordecai comes and says, maybe God has put you in the kingdom for such a time as this. And she changed her perspective, and she stood for God. Daniel had a different perspective. They said, quit praying. He said, I'm not going to quit praying. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down. They wouldn't bow down because they had a different perspective. David comes on the scene. Everybody's shaking in their sandals, but he says, I'm going to stand up for God. All the way through, you get to Jesus. Satan comes. Turn the stones into bread. Bow down and worship me. Throw yourself off the temple. Every time he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Don't test God. Worship him only. Why? Different perspective. Look at the pens that are in the pews. We live by faith, not by sight. Different perspective. Paul had that. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Different perspective. Do you have that heavenly perspective? Do you have that perspective that John is talking about, that you have the true God eternal life? Are you in Christ? Do you have eternal security? If you don't, get that today. We always ask at the invitation, if anybody's here that needs to be baptized into Christ, to respond to that. The greatest question you'll ask is, what must I do to be saved, to be right with God? That question was asked in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. So the answer to the question, what must we do to be saved, was to turn from their sin, repent of their sin, be changed, change your direction, make a U-turn in your life. You're going this way, go toward God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and they'll be washed away, and you'll be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit that seals us, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. If you don't have that, and it's the right time for you to take that step, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Jason and Morgan on it, and she's discovered that God loves her, and baptism, things are washed away, and she's been given. So I'm going to ask her to come up and take her confession, and if she starts that journey, pray for her, and and we want you to know that as you trust this thing, God loves you. You're going to be like all of us, not perfect. Make mistakes and stumble, but He will always love you. Y'all still here, so be good. Thank you.
Lord, we're so excited that you've made this decision to commit your life to Christ. And as we're told in Scripture, baptism symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And as you're buried in the waters of baptism, you'll be raised to walk a new life. And we'll be here to support you and help you as you make that decision. So because of your confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. All right. Happy birthday.
Oh, On the first day of the week, New Testament Christians all over the world come together to worship our Savior. And, you know, you think about that for a minute, and that's one of the reasons that Christians have had difficulty dealing with this pandemic. We got used to coming to church and to singing and praising God and hearing the word and taking communion. And then all of a sudden that was taken away from us. And not just for a while, but it's been over 2 years and we've been able to all get together and feel comfortable. We see the attendance today is better than we've seen it. It's increasing, and I think more and more people are feeling comfortable about being able to get out. And there's going to be a point not too far in the future where all of us will be able to get together and be able to do those things that we did before the pandemic and feel comfortable in coming and worshiping our Lord. There's a number of elements of worship, and it's kind of elementary, and we've done several of those things already today. Singing and praying and hearing the word broke and seeing baptisms. And another element is communion, and that's one of the things that we wanted to focus on now. Communion is the time when we focus on God's love for us. He sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. We take the unleavened bread in remembrance of his body broken and the fruit of the vine where he shed his blood on the cross. As we partake of these emblems this morning, let's remember the pain and suffering that our Savior went through saving us so that we have hope of eternal life. Would you pray with me as we offer thanks for the bread? Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you. We love you. We thank you, Father, for your Son. We thank you for the church. We thank you, Father, for this group of Christians that meets here in this place. Thank you now, Father, for this loaf. Pray that you would bless it to our body. Forgive us of our sins. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Would you now bow with me as we offer thanks for the fruit of the vine? Our Father and our God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for your Son and for the life that he lived and the death that he died so that we might have hope of eternal life. Thank you, Father, now for this fruit of the vine which represents his blood shed on Calvary's cross. Forgive us of our sins, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Hasn't it been a wonderful day, a wonderful worship service? What a wonderful blessing that we have as Christians to gather each Lord's Day to worship our Father, our God. If you're worshiping with us online this morning, you're missing out. We love you. We know that we worship better when we're all together, praising God and singing praises to Him, fellowshipping one another, and edifying and building up one another with our worship. And if you're at home, we appreciate having you watching this morning, but we do miss you. We long for the day when you will be back in services with us. Your pew is still empty and missing you. We also would like to thank all of you at home and all of you here for your financial support to help the Lord's work at the Midway congregation. A part of our worship is giving back to God a portion of what we've been blessed with. And it's a blessing, it's a privilege for us to be able to do that. Thank you for your generous and your very faithful giving throughout all of this pandemic. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your love, for being such an awesome God. We thank you for blessing us in our assembly this morning, for making our lives so much richer because we are your children. Father, we're so thankful for Laura and for her decision to serve you. We pray, Father, for her strength and for her growth as a Christian. We pray that each one of us will help her as best we can and fellowship her and help her as she grows in the faith. And Father, we're so thankful for her decision this morning. Father, we praise you. We worship you. We want to serve you. And please bless our worship this morning, Father. Bless our giving. Bless us as we use what's been given to further your kingdom. Bless us each in service to you as we go about our daily lives. And Father, help us in our lives to reflect Jesus and his love to the world about us. Father, bless us as we depart. Help us to always serve you and to use the wisdom, the word, the guidance that you've given us to guide our lives throughout every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.